Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to another Sunday evening with Zion's Trumpet. Yours truly, Brother Daniel. How's everybody doing out there in Pow Talk Land? Good, good, good. Everybody's doing good. Well, praise the Lord. I don't know if Jennifer and her husband, if they want to talk or not. Johnny, did you guys want to say something tonight, try and share tonight? Yes? Okay, well, you go ahead and take the mic.
Yeah, greetings from Johnny and Jen here. We'll get the name changed so it's more accurate. My first time on here, and Jenny was going to be last week, but it couldn't get to work. Greetings to you all. We have met quite a few of you. We were out there last year, and I'm really blessed by that we actually did that. That worked very well. And we're planning another trip here as soon as it falls in place, that the Lord puts in place. And lots of things happening around here, that's for sure. It's been a very, very tough week, beyond hard, you know. But Lord got us through it. It's really interesting that for the last 6 months, when I was even at work, I work away from home a lot, and the scriptures that I've been reading have been many scriptures on the fear of God and wisdom and knowledge is from God, but one of the key things to get it is by having the fear of God. And so many of them scriptures that the Lord has poured into me, obedient scriptures just kept coming into place. It's interesting that the Angel of Light scripture in 2 Corinthians 11:14, when I read that, that's been a few years ago now, but the Lord just, it's one of those scriptures that just finally popped out, and it has just been on my heart and concern ever since it came. And the other thing is overcoming scriptures over the last months, and they all, I feel, had to be in place before for this week, the happenings that happened, what we had to do this week, and we're just pressing on. It was a tough deal, but obedience is always a blessing when it is done. And glad to be on again here, like we said. And I enjoyed that last song that was on. I've actually done that song before, and I'd like to do it sometime for the brethren. I love it. It's such a blessing. I haven't played that song for years. Haven't played much for years. I've just been on hold. And that's all for me, and I'll let Jenny talk.
Okay, well, hello, everyone. Like Johnny said, we're new here, but very glad to be here. And a couple weeks ago, I was going to share a scripture, Proverbs 12:1. It reads, Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Loveth there is to have affection for, and instruction is chastisement, reproof, warning. Well, that hit me like who would love to be chastised? And I realize it's those who see their need. And of course, this requires humility and accountability, I believe, and very painful to our flesh, but joyous to our spirit. And so I was asking for a humble and submissive heart to receive that. We are isolated here, just Johnny and I. We don't get a lot of fellowship, and we have great need, so we do need accountability. And I'm hoping that you all will be able to help us with that through the chat room here, emails and phone calls. And like Johnny said, it's been a hard week, but it was some chastisement, and we thank God for it. I just want to thank you, Dan and Annabelle and the brethren there, for helping us. And I'm learning how to be accountable. I've been out of a fellowship for quite some time, so I have a few things to learn. And I'm learning how the adversary works as well. But our heart's cry is sonship, and we are open to whatever the Lord would have, has in mind for this to happen. I just want the return of Jesus to be front and center, a priority in my heart and mind, each and every day. So, well, God bless you and thank you so much.
Dan, the only other thing I was going to mention is that the ordeal we went through this week, what started it off was, you didn't even mention this, but Sunday night and Monday night, Jennifer and I didn't sleep at all. We and that's when we started asking the Lord questions, and then things started to fall in place. And that's just how our God works. He answers us. And that's it from us. Thanks, you guys.
Amen. Well, thanks for that testimony. Thanks for sharing. It was a little low, but I'm going to bump it up when I do this my tape tonight. So I didn't give some volume to it so everybody can hear it if they listen to it again. But thank you. I heard it. It was wonderful. Thanks. I appreciate you sharing. Anybody else have anything to share while we're on the subject or while we got open mic here? Okay. Well, this week I ran across a brother I never heard of by accident. I was doing some research for putting together a word for this week at this site. Never heard of this guy, and but he had a message that sounded interesting by the title. I found out he was a younger guy, he's part of this generation, and of course I don't even bother listening to anybody that's part of this generation. Usually I just forget it. They're not even worth it. Don't even bother. But I for some reason I downloaded it, let it sit on my computer for a few days, and then finally started listening to it. It was like a 3-part message. It's pretty long, and wow, it blessed me. It really, really blessed me. Never heard of this guy. I went to his website, tried to find out something about him. Apparently, he's well known in some circles in the church. He has a burden for children, for orphan children in South America, particularly in third world countries, have no family, nobody cares for them. They live on the streets. Apparently, he's got orphanages, and he's in some kind of missionary society. And he was talking to some group of people somewhere. I don't know. They're young people. But he gave a really, really good word. It blessed me. Just blessed my socks off. So I thought maybe I would play for you guys this week because it blessed me so much and it's a needed word and it can apply to anybody. His focus, his slant is he's into evangelism, of course, and getting the gospel out. And so he's coming from that angle as far as he's trying to encourage authentic Christianity, real Christians, to walk a real Christian life, a victorious Christian life. And he's coming from the angle that if you live a victorious Christian life, you'll be a light to the world, and people will start paying attention to the gospel message. But he says a lot of things I would like to say, and he says it's so much better than I do. So I thought I'd like to play this and have him say some of the things that I would like to say. So I encourage you to listen to this guy. I think it's about an hour, a little over an hour. I had to cut the thing down. It was a 3-part series. It was quite a long series, and I cut a lot out of it. And cut it down to about an hour and 8 minutes, hour and 9 minutes. But it's really worth listening to. I really recommend you listen to it. And if there's any problems tonight, I'm going to put it up again so you can hear it tomorrow. So after the message, we'll open the room up again if anybody has anything to share or say or ask, whatever. Okay? It's called The Spirit is Willing. His name is Eric Ludy, Ludy. Okay? So I'm going to turn my system over here and enjoy this message.
Supposedly trying to walk you through a series on nature. And I felt something happen on Monday of this week that detoured me. So I didn't quite know what to call this, so I called it Special Session 1. There is a need for solid doctrine, but there is a need for hearts that are on fire. And there's a slight difference between the two, and we oftentimes are sticking sound doctrine before the heart on fire. God prefers the heart on fire, and he wants to, in the way that that fire is maintained and kept stoked, is with sound doctrine. But the sound doctrine is meant as a infrastructural support. It's like a foundation. But the foundation is not the life of a house. You don't live in the foundation. You build and live upon the foundation. We need the foundation, but we need to live. Who cares if you have good foundations and you're dying? We need to live. And this group doesn't struggle with a lot of the things that the other American Christians your age struggle with. Ironically, you guys have a different malady. And that is that you have a desire for truth. You esteem truth. You long for it. You love it. However, it has a tendency to remain in the intellectual realm, and it needs to cascade into the soul and bring it to life. This is empty. Everything we've done from Easter till now is absolutely empty if it doesn't capture your soul and change your life. This is nothing. In fact, it will harm you, because now you will have actually heard the truth, esteemed it, and think you have it because you've heard it. But the fact that you have heard these things does not mean you have it. And tonight we must grapple with the difference between hearing and having. Because unless we are doing, unless we are activating these truths in our life, we are lying to ourselves and we're lying to everyone that comes into this building, thinking that, oh yes, we are a group that has these things. Meanwhile, we are living under the thumb of sin. We have 1,000 little trifling errors in our existence that complicate, that convolute our existence, that undermine our ability to truly bring Jesus Christ to this world, that bring shame upon our life, which causes us to diminish the voice of truth, and we live in part shadow and part light. And there's a dimension of our existence which is in shadow, and we are scared to death that the rest of this group will find out about it. If it's there, it means you need the gospel. It means you need the power of God into salvation. Salvation is not merely the beginning point where, yes, I was saved, and now I get to experience eternity with Jesus Christ. Salvation is not a one-time thing. In fact, salvation is daily, moment by moment. It simply means to be rescued, to be delivered. Do you know that you have 1,000 moments in every day when you need to be rescued and delivered from what? You! From the problem of you. You have a desire. You have an esteem for that throne in your life. You want to be in control. You want it to be your way. You are a problem. You are a rebel against the kingdom agenda. You need to be saved. This doesn't sound right. It's like, I am saved. You need to be saved. And you need to be saved tonight. So when we rest upon the fact that, oh, we're in good graces of God because we did this in the past, exactly what Ben talked about on Tuesday, we have a tendency to undermine the very fabric of the gospel, which is a living, vibrant, abiding relationship. And that's where the fire comes in. If you are not living in the life of Jesus Christ, if you are not abiding in the light of holiness, then you are living a false existence under the banner of all these things that are true. May we dare not live out such a Christianity. Our world is wanting to flush Christianity down the toilet because of this very thing. Christians that speak grand thoughts and live horrible lives. So we have a swing in modern Christianity, which is toward this concept of being real. It's like, you know what? No one can really live this life anyways. Let's just be honest about it. All of us are living in shadow. Yes, we have a little glimmer of light every now and then when we do the good deed. But for the most part, 95% of our life is living under the thumb of sin. Let's all just acknowledge it. I can't tell you how many times I've been in men's groups and heard statements like this. It's like, you know what? We're all struggling with lust. Everyone ready to acknowledge that? Every guy in there is like silent, sort of, you know, moving around in his seat, a little uncomfortable. It's like, hey, guys, I know what men are made of. So just acknowledge it. So every guy in there finally goes around the room and it's like, yeah, it's me too. Yep, just last night. We're so used to hearing the futility. We're so used to hearing about the failure, and we know the failure in our own life, that we don't believe in victory anymore. We literally esteem, follow me on this, we esteem honesty about sinfulness more than we do maybe anything else in modern Christianity. You actually have the credibility to get up in front of a vast crowd if you can acknowledge that you are a sinner day in and day out and you mess up all the time, but you are at least honest about it. Some of the greatest leaders in Christianity today are honest about their sin. One of the guys that started the entire youth, let me say it this way, the entire youth ministry movement wrote a book called Messy Spirituality. And the intro to it is basically saying, what, I'm 60-some years old, and my life is an absolute mess. If anyone were to speak at my funeral today, they would say Mike was a mess. And guess what? This man is magnetic. Our generation loves this guy. He's not around anymore, but loved this guy. Why? Because he was gritty, he was real, he was authentic. Our generation loves authenticity. We cannot stand when Christian leaders get up and they spout out all these grand ideas and then they on the side are having gay trysts. When they on the side are violating the very thing that they're commanding their audience to do, putting them all under condemnation because no one can do it anyway. We have serious problems in the church. We have begun to doubt that there is even a victory possible. As Ben often says, we have more faith in the power of Satan over our life than we do in the power of Jesus Christ to deliver us in our life. What has happened to the church where we have faith in Satan? We have faith in the power of darkness. We have faith in the power of sin. What has happened to us when we've lost the faith in the power of God? This is where we must stand in our own life. I don't know where you're at in your shadow, but you must grapple at your soul level tonight and say, where do I stand? Do I believe that God has any power to deliver me? Or is this all head knowledge? Do I just nod along when Ben talks about the fact that we can be free from sin? It's like, yes, that's a truth. It says it in the Bible. Who cares if it says it in the Bible if you can't appropriate it in your soul? The only reason it's in the Bible is so that it can enter into you. The Bible as text is meaningless. You can have a map and it can tell you how to get from New York to L.A. But if you do not enter into that actual journey and begin to go from New York to L.A., you will never reach L.A. But you can esteem the fact that that map is accurate. You can esteem the fact that if you ever did go on that journey, it would take you there. But if you never enter into the journey, you will never reach the destination. And that is what this is about. We are in a crisis in our generation. We're in a crisis in the church, and it's a crisis of faith. We have lost it. Doubt has been defined as faith. Honest doubt is what it's called. The fact that you have honest doubt is just it's part of the infrastructure. It's the skeleton of faith. Doubt is not of the kingdom of heaven. If I doubt that you are going to arrive on time for Tuesday night or Friday night, that isn't what this is talking about. That doubt exists in Eric Ludi. However, to doubt that God isn't accurate when He says something in His Word and that He is not a performer of that which He promises is not a doubt that is meant to be allowed in even the slightest degree within the human soul. Not even the slightest degree. God wants to purge us of everything that stands against His agenda in our life, which is a life of faith. It's a life of absolute confidence. When He says it, when He promises it, we esteem it and we say He will perform it and our life matches up and we take a step forward. If He says, I have given you this land, take it. What does faith say? Faith says, He said it, it's as good as done. And we step forward. Well, there's a Jordan River. You can't walk across the Jordan. He said He will give it. Let's do it. Let's take a step into the Jordan. An entire generation died in the wilderness because when they stood on the shores of Kadesh Barnea and stared into the land of promise, a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and God said, take it, I've given it to you. The elders of the land that went out to spy it out came back and they said, there's no way we can take this. There's giants in this land. There's walled cities that reach up to the heavens. Sure, it's a beautiful land, but we aren't a fighting group. We're bricklayers. We're brick makers, actually. We're like weak. We're not an organized army. We got women and children and cattle. We're not very dangerous here. Giants. How many of us, when we look at our shadow side of our life, and God says, I want to take that. I want to take that for my glory. None of that shadow is to remain. None of it. Do we say, there's giants in that shadow. Walled cities that reach up to the heavens. This is impossible. God could never deliver me from this. And you will die in the wilderness for that lack of faith. When God says it, He will do it. I will stand in this exact point and say, He will do it until I die. Why do I have such a confidence? Because He's done it in me. I'm not speaking about things that are just theoretical. The reason I speak with passion on this exact point is because I allow no shadow in my life. I detest shadow. It doesn't mean it doesn't try and sneak in. In fact, that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. It trying to sneak into the life of Eric Luty. We're in the midst of a war. Shadow is constantly trying to cover our life. We must not let it. But right now, we have to start at ground zero. The shadow has been there since we were little, and it must be purged. Let's not worry about the fact of keeping it away. Let's start with dealing with getting it out in the first place. It has no business being there. There are 31 empires in the land of Canaan. 31. Those 12 spies come back. 10 are like, 31 empires, giants, walled cities. We're just a little bunch of brickmakers. We have no hope against this. Do you not realize who is on the side of those who simply believe? We're talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who literally devastated the armies of the most powerful nation in the world and swallowed them up in an ocean without any one of the armies of Israel raising a sword. Parts a Red Sea. Brings them over on dry ground. Feeds them from heaven. Their shoes don't even wear out. What is this? Who is this God? But there was no precedent for this. They'd never seen it. Now they'd seen him part a Red Sea. But that doesn't mean that... He swallowed up the Egyptians. But how's it going to work when they're actually marching on Jericho? How's that going to work? God, I don't know how you're going to deal with that. That's too big for you. Sure, you can swallow up Egyptians in the Red Sea. But I don't know if you can really do this. How often do we do that in our life? It's like, well, my sin is special. My problem is special. Sure, God did this for that person over there. Oh, yes, He did this for me in the past, but that was different. God can do things like that, but this is different. I would need something bigger than God for this. Such is my lot in life, to allow this sin to control me because God can't deal with it. Woe is me. Selfishness at the core is to think that you have a special problem. A problem that God cannot deal with, that God didn't deal with at the cross. You do not have anything special that's been dealt out to you. You have sin. You have rebellion. You have selfishness. And God is an expert at dealing with it. He will deal with every vice in your existence. I really like Corrie Ten Boom. She's simple. It's not very complex. You wouldn't think when you talk about Corrie Ten Boom that you're going to talk about a vast intellect that is a storehouse for the riches of doctrine. But you would talk about a woman who loves Jesus Christ and who exemplified the power of Jesus Christ on earth. Simple. She was meeting with a group of German... They weren't theologians, but they thought they were. You know those type of people? The type of people that they scrutinize every word, not in the Berean sense, but in simply the stuffy intellectual sense, where it's just like, they don't want to agree with what you're saying, so they look for a loophole out. So they're constantly not evaluating with the Spirit of God to back it up, saying, God, speak to me. Whatever it is, speak to me. It's critical. It's saying, I don't want this to be true, so how can I find a way to not make it be true? So Corrie Ten Boom speaks to this group of German theologians, and it was just a miserable time. These men were just haughtily, sort of looking at her like, you don't know as much as we do, so why don't you sit down and listen to us? So Corrie Ten Boom did something strange. She decided that she was going to meet together with this group once again, and she brought them some Dutch chocolate. And they devoured this Dutch chocolate because at that time, I think it was Germany. Wasn't it Germany? In that time in Germany, chocolate was a rarity. And so these men just loved this chocolate. And she asked, she said, how come none of you asked me any questions about the chocolate? I said, what do you mean? said, you asked me all sorts of questions about what I believe when I spoke about the simple faith in Jesus Christ that transforms the human existence. You bulleted that through and threw arrows through it all night long. When I bring you chocolate, you never questioned where it came from, how it was made. You simply ate it. And her illustration was how often we miss the simple truths of the gospel life, and we don't just feast upon it as children. But we try and analyze it, we try and bake it down into it. We need to understand the whole thing until we can live. You do not need to understand the gamut of the universe before you can find Jesus Christ and His saving power in your life. You are free to know it tonight. You do not need to understand everything intellectually. Yes, Ben and I want you to be Bereans. Believe me, the context of this is not lost. We want you to study and search the Scriptures, but not in such a way looking for a loophole out of the simple gospel message that will change your existence. God has promised it, and He didn't stutter, and He made it very clear in Scripture. There is life to be had. There is freedom to be had, and it's found in Jesus Christ, in the blood of Jesus Christ, and simple childlike faith that says, He did it, I believe it, and I'll take it. Allow God to be who He says He is. Okay, let's start into these notes. Special session one. Subtitle I have for this one is, The Spirit is Willing. Remember that statement from the Garden of Gethsemane? The Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak.